So much for joining us pretty late. It was quite the day in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area. There was a national walkout, actually, throughout the country, and there were pictures of local high schools that were taking a stand. The students were taking a stand. I know that there are a lot of different opinions on this, but somebody posted on Facebook, "I'm so tired of these kids being used like political pawns. It's just the teachers and the unions and the liberals all trying to take advantage of our kids." So when my son, who came home, who had left his high school at 10 a.m. this morning, they quietly went outside for 17 minutes, and Griffin said he read the name of Scott Bagel, who was the geometry teacher shot down at Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. I asked him, I said, "Hey, sweetie, do you feel like you're a political pawn?" He goes, "No, I feel like a political chess master." And I was like, "All right, checkmate, done. All right, that's his own opinion." Senator Katowski joins me in studio. That's the sense that I have from a lot of the kids that were participating today, don't you?
Yeah, I don't think there are some people out there not giving them the credit they deserve.
Well, if there were kids that didn't want to be out there, then yes, that was
they had a choice.
If that was my impression,
I thought they handled it very well at Maine South. At Maine South, my kids are both. One's Nate is a senior, Cooper's freshman, and they had an opportunity to go out there, and they said to the kids, if you don't want to participate, you don't have to, but they said you can go protest for 17 minutes to honor the lives of the kids who passed in Parkland, as well as call to action. And it was a very dignified protest. It was a very, I think it was a great way of memorializing the lives of kids, not just in Parkland, but kids who are dying every day
right. In
Chicago, across our country. And it was a call to action, just quite frankly said, look, adults, you need to step up. One of the things that I found today that was pretty compelling is one kid said, look, it's just sad, but also speaks to their generation, the power of it, and what they recognize they have to do. He said, adults have dropped the ball, and we have to pick it up. And I hate to hear that they feel that way,
right,
that we've dropped the ball. But they're like, you know what, okay, this is what's happened. We're going to step up. We're going to fill in the gap here, and we're going to do something about it. And you got to give a tremendous amount of credit. And one of the things I posted today, I was kind of surprised that there's so many people who are commenting and they're criticizing these kids, and they're condemning them, they're making fun of them for exercising their First Amendment right in a very peaceful way, a peaceable way, in a dignified way. And I mean, we could take a page from the book that they're writing for us and make a difference.
It is interesting that people are taking to Facebook. There was one person apparently yelling at Griffin's classmates, and Griffin, obviously, saying, "Stay away from my guns," and using a lot of profane language, yelling at the kids. And I said last night, I'm not sure what a counter-protest looks like when the children are walking out in honor of the children, and as you mentioned, not just the shootings in Parkland, Florida, but people who have been the victims of gun violence, whether in Chicago or wherever throughout the United States. That was their point. At least in Griffin's classroom, that was their decision. So yelling at kids is basically saying, I don't care why you're acknowledging and paying respect to people who died. I mean, you may as well be the guys, like when there's a funeral for a fallen soldier, one of those jerks that rides up. Don't be the jerk. But people, I guess, and we've heard a lot about this, they get wrapped up in their opinions as part of their identity. And that's where, I guess, they lash out, and it doesn't matter if it's a kid who has a voice. But we are in studio with Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is the Associate Professor of Medicine at Northwestern and the President-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society. Senator Dan Katowski is joining us. He's the President and CEO of ChildServe, helping children reach their potential and really helping kids who are in the foster system, kids who have gone through very traumatic situations, whether it's with their family or losing their homes in many instances, losing their families or being taken from their families. And I admire you and thank you for the work that you both do with so many people. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk to Julie Paradise about workplace civility. And I think that seems to be civility. Oh, please, 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 so much civility is needed. Doug, Kathy, you know, you mentioned on your list, we talked about this a couple weeks ago as well, about the school shootings, and you had mentioned then about someone you spoke to in D.C. about a better job we can do about identifying potential shooters. Is there anything that you've been talking with with your colleagues in the last few weeks in regards to school shootings?
Obviously, this is such a burning issue. We're really trying to increase funding and actually establish funding in a repository for research and treating gun violence as a public health issue, which is what it is. You know, if you use the example of seatbelts, you know, doing research allows us to have safer vehicles, and we can do the same with guns. We can do the same by just applying simple principles of research. The CDC has been prevented from getting funding for any type of gun violence research for years. So reestablishing that, I think, would be fabulous. Congressman Quigley has a bill in Congress to establish an actual gun violence research center housed within the CDC. I think that's something that we could all get behind. You know, it's a matter of, you know, at this point, you know, life and death for so many people.
Oh, no doubt about it. Well, we are going to talk a little more about some Wellness Wednesday topics, including tobacco at the age of 21, Lyme disease, which, again, it's about to get warmer out, and we need to be aware of what to look out for. And there's a couple of topics we're going to touch on with Dr. Kathy Tynes. Join our conversation anytime by calling 312-981-7200. You can call or text us to the same number, 312-981-7200. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We're going to continue our conversation for Wellness Wednesday in just a little bit. And I also want to tell you about an event that's coming up tomorrow night. You know, Chicago has got to do a healthy and wonderful cosplay community. And tomorrow night, Chicago Costume is hosting their very first cosplay night, which is going to be at their Lincoln Park location at 1120 West Fullerton Avenue. And we want to make sure that you have your year-round services, that maybe you want to know what's available, what you should be looking for, what's popular, what's going to be your next thing to wear. We have on the line with us.
What is, oh my God, why am I the minion, you know?
Okay.
And that was, quite
slick.
It was, yeah, but I was dancing and it got, you know, the problem was it got too heated and I was starting to like itch.
Have you done a cone head?
Oh,
no, I haven't done a cone head.
Cortland, do you carry some cone head? You do?
Yeah.
I do. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do people come in like Senator Gutowski and go, okay, look at me. What do you think I should be?
That's
do you ever have those?
Hey, look at me.
Look at me.
Well,
that's my, you know, that's basically my job. You know, people walk in all the time, and I'm like, this is, you got to be this, you know, you got to be whatever this is, because you look just like that person.
You can only go so many places with bald people, right?
You can go a lot of places with bald people. You can actually go more places with bald people.
Well, I know you can, but, like, if it's, like, there aren't that many bald characters, so you're better off if you're someone who is hair-deprived to go in there like, yeah, I'd like a wig, you know what I mean? I just go
right,
the other
right, of
you
course.
Do Batman. I could see you. You're
I went
like
as
good...
Richard Simmons 1 year. I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, now, Senator and Dr. Kathy, I think you should both attend this event. Tell us about some of the groups that you have. You have special guests that are going
to
be at this event.
Yeah, well, we have Age of Geeks, which is a cosplay group here in Chicago. They go to all the conventions, and they dress up for all kinds of different fun stuff. We have a friend of mine who has a website called Exotic Eyes. Exotic lenses, I believe, and they do cosplay contact lenses. And you may or may not know this, but certainly a lot of customers don't. But, you know, in the state of Illinois and a lot of places, you can't just walk into a store like ours and buy, colored contact lenses. You have to get a doctor's prescription. They have to be fitted to your eye. It's actually against the law to buy them at just a regular store, in Illinois specifically. You have to get them from somebody who's a licensed optometrist.
Okay.
And so that, you know, that's a special, that's more of a specialty service than you know, just a regular kind of thing. And of course, I think it's really important too that, you know, people do get, when you're dealing with your eyes, you want something that's going to work and be the correct size. We've also got some on-site makeup demonstrations and some on-site wig styling as well. We've got all kinds of cool stuff.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was thinking a little wig styling for Senator Katowski. You could be anything you want, sir.
It gives me a magical feeling right now.
Cortland, that's the point of Chicago Costume, is to be anything you want, right? Is to feel good about yourself.
Yeah
to explore the fantasy.
We make some nice Rick and Morty wigs. Rick from Rick and Morty, if you've seen that show, that would be maybe a good one. Nice unibrow, nice blue unibrow for you.
I would like a unibrow.
Oh, I see Rick. Yeah.
I don't know. I wish I know Rick. Rick and Morty sounds like brick and mortar. What's Rick and Morty?
Yes. Rick and Morty's a cartoon on the Cartoon Network. It's a sort of nihilistic, multi-dimensional quantum, you know, TV show where they travel to different dimensions. And
nice.
It is a cartoon, but it deals with very, you know, adult topics. It's very popular right now.
That's what I love, is that not only do people kind of go beyond the boundaries of your, you know, sort of standard Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, which are fun, because you know that I like dressing up as Wonder Woman, although now I'm so excited with the movie coming out, having come out, is being able to dress as one of the Amazons. I get to actually grow into an age rather than try to be, you know, 25 for the rest of my life.
We have the outfits that they wear on the island, if you did want to dress up like that, the little like white gowns, dresses that they wear.
Oh, you mean from the series, like the togas and stuff like that?
Yes.
Did you go to the island to get those?
It's in the movie. It's in the Wonder Woman movie in the beginning where they're all.
That's right. Together. Yes.
It would be interesting if there was actually an island there that you could get the actual costumes.
They get their costumes. Actually, you do get your costumes from all over the world, don't you?
Absolutely. We also make a lot of costumes, too. You know, we that's how my mom started Chicago Costume, really. It was actually just making costumes for people because things didn't exist, you know. It wasn't the commercial world we live in now, and if you wanted something, you had to make it. It wasn't so readily available.
How many years before your family opened in 1976 was your mom making costumes for other people?
She'd been making costumes since she was in high school. But then, you know, for at least a couple of years before she opened the store, she'd been making them for theatrical productions, and that's kind of how she started to gain the costumes. You know, she'd make them for a production, and then they were like, well, that production's over, you know, we're going to throw these costumes away, we don't need them anymore, you keep them, you know.
So, really?
Built up a huge, you know, collection of things.
I feel like I need to bring Senator Katowski and everybody with.
I went, when you said to me, you need to go there, and when I went as Meryl Steubing from The Love Boat, another bald character, I went to Chicago.
I feel like he's going to name every single bald.
But I did.
Character.
Well, when you start to search for people like you to make you feel validated. But I went there, and the people who worked there could have been more accommodating and get a costume that made me look like a ship's captain.
Yeah.
Love Boat.
Maybe Daddy Warbucks for you next.
Oh, yeah. Is your wife going to be your Annie? That's weird.
Yeah, be
that's weird.
Strange.
Yeah, it's a little strange. Yeah.
That's okay. I do it. That's
That makes it a little weird. But
it does a little weird.
Yeah. Well, there are some weird moments in the movie or play, but that's fine.
Well, there's weird moments in relationships. You just have to embrace it.
You're rolling. What is it called? Lean into it.
Totally lean into it.
Just wrap yourself in the awkwardness.
She went as the woman from the, you know, with the roll up, the sleeves rolled up and the...
Oh, what, from Greece? What?
No. Like the manufacturer, the woman in the manufacturer.
Oh, Laverne and Shirley.
No.
Not Laverne and Shirley.
Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Shamil. I'm sorry. Don't get me started.
Shots of Pepper Incorporated. Shots of Pepper Incorporated.
So, Cortland, you have over 10,000 costumes to choose from, both at the Lincoln Park location and the location on Montrose Avenue in Portage Park, right?
Yeah, I have a real problem that I just, you know, I see stuff and I'm like, oh, we got to have that. Everybody, you know, my family, like, we got to stop. We have too many costumes. So,
no, don't stop. Don't listen to that.
Oh, I grew up going to Chicago Costume every Halloween. There'd be a line out the door. It was so crowded.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Over there by Milwaukee, right?
Montrose.
We're on Fullerton, or also on Montrose.
Montrose,
we also used to have lines out the door, but you know those are the old days. But, you know, now now we have a really, you know, our service is really good. We turn people over really quickly and help them find their costumes.
So you made me
no waiting, no lines.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. You have so much room. And you made me look like a rock star a couple of years ago when Griffin went as Flash. He looked so badass in that.
So cool.
He was very cool. Senator, you wanted to ask?
So what's the most interesting costume, or the oddest costume that you have?
Well, you know, that's the beautiful thing I actually love about what I do, is that everything's always changing. You know, it's never the same. You know, people come in all every day looking for weird, goofy stuff. You know, right now it's leprechauns and Easter bunnies, and you know, they're like, oh, you know, I want the bunny with the vest. You know, I mean, so they're all, everybody's got like sort of an odd.
Of course, I want the bunny with the vest.
You were talking about earlier, you know, going with the costumes that always, you're trying to go with a costume that, you know, works with your hairstyle. And I was at an event recently, and I walked up to this gentleman. I said, "Are you cosplaying Larry David?" And he's like, "No, I'm cosplaying Bernie Sanders."
he was great.
But he was just dressed as himself. He wasn't. He looked just like it, you know. His regular persona, you know, was an outfit that he could be to somebody.
So that is so much fun.
It worked really well for him.
I love it. So tomorrow from 8 to 10 at the Fullerton location for Chicago Costume, which is at 1120 West Fullerton, right there in Lincoln Park, from 8 to 10 p.m. It's Chicago Costume's first annual cosplay night. What kind of, and you have like some fun, like, you usually do like little special perks too along the way, don't you?
Oh yeah, there'll be raffles and gift bags, and we have food, and we have some drinks and stuff too. So there's lots of refreshments and in-store demos and stuff. So we have some really cool stuff planned.
And again, the other thing too, I want people to know, if you're ever throwing like a theme party, like if you want to do a flapper party, if you want to do like a Hamilton party, they have all that kind of they have all the period pieces available. We try on all that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
We can't stop in there. Yeah. You guys are always so generous to us, because we're like, I know we've been here for a couple hours, but can we try out one more costume? So thank you so much, Cortland. What was that?
Yeah, you guys, you know, for radio, you guys really dress up a lot.
Well, you should see us now.
Exactly.
I won't reveal.
Put the Wonder Woman sword down and shield. We got it. Cortland, have a fun time at the event. And everybody, by the way, can go to ChicagoCostume.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter as well. Is that all at Chicago Costume?
Yeah.
Excellent.
We have all kinds of great pictures up there of all the fun stuff we do every day.
Yay. Well, keep having fun. We look forward to having you back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Bye, Cortland. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Patty, can I say, like, real quickly, you have some huge fans who are listening to you right now.
Yes.
From Antioch, United Methodist Women, listen to your show on Antioch. And so every week they say, please give a shout-out, because we're out there, and they do a lot of work for our kids in early childhood. They provide gifts. They knit blankets.
Aw, hi.
And they're for newborn babies, so they're huge fans of yours at the Antioch. United Methodist Church out there. So,
hey, everybody. Well,
big shout out to them.
Well, everyone in Antioch, drive down to Chicago Costume and pick out something fun to wear, too.
Very cool.
All right, then. We'll throw a party for them. I love what they would do.
Yeah.
More after this on 720 WGN. I got the magic in me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold. Everybody knows I've got the magic in me. Today's complex business environment presents challenges to maintaining civility in the workplace. As a result, we see an increase in employee sexual harassment and discrimination complaints. Workplace civility, why it matters and how to cultivate it. Julie Paradise is the president of Communication Strategies Company, has more than 25 years of experience helping clients solve communication problems. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Julie Paradise joins us. We also have Senator Dan Katowski, the president and CEO of ChildServe, and Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is the associate professor of medicine at Northwestern and president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society. Julie, thank you so much for joining us in studio tonight.
Thank you for inviting me, Patty.
Oh, my pleasure. So what is workplace civility? Because I bet people think, I'm already nice. I hold the door open. Sometimes she says thanks. Sometimes she doesn't.
It's a little bit more than that. And the unfortunate thing is that there's less of it now. And we want to take a look at this and see if the political arena is responsible. So let me just say some examples of incivility. Lack of mutual respect, being aggressive, having an abrasive tone. You know, we're moms and we say to our kids, don't talk to me with that tone in your voice.
Right.
Why? Because it's disrespectful. Not being collaborative, not helping one another, and pretty much everything we see in the political arena. So it, the business problem is that it causes companies to lose money. So that's where I come in and help people understand the cost of this and people morale, there's turnover.
I think focus is really hard.
Yes.
If you're worried about the way somebody talks to you walking down the hallway, then you walk into your office and you don't want to even do your next project. You're just thinking about, why was he a jerk to me?
And there are studies that show that if we even just witness rudeness, we behave more rudely. And this is what the concern is now, is that the norm is beginning to be this way, to not respect people's opinions, to not work together, to not share information. And it's really challenging. A big issue is that there's a misconception that showing civility is a weakness. It's really the opposite. So all of these things are at play. And my job is to help people, but really it's important for companies to understand that something is going on. It's a seminal moment. There's more going on now than is ever before in this area.
And if someone is uncivil, I guess there's two things. First, how do you cultivate civility then? If it really does help the company not only profit more, but also, you know, build. You don't just want to make profits, you also want to know that you're going to sustain that profit, too.
Well, what we need to look at is some of the things that the lack of civility causes,
okay,
are that are examples. Negativity, cynicism, lack of empathy. These are all things that take away from people's effectiveness. So how do you fix it? Well, you start by trying to build a culture of optimism. The opposite, being more positive, being more supportive. And it's funny, but a lot of companies have tried this. For example, some companies say, you can bring your dog to work. But I was recently in a company where they had the dogs there, and two of the dogs got into a fight. So then
yeah,
the two dog owners who were coworkers, they got into a fight.
Backfiring. Oh, my goodness.
And then people in the company the coworkers started choosing sides, like, well, whose fault was it? So it isn't always that easy.
Right.
But there are specific steps to take, providing people with guidelines and really showing them that the change is possible.
Okay, so knowing that change is possible is an important step. And I think that one of the problems I would have is, okay, not everyone's going to get on board. Right? Some people are going to keep being themselves. So I think isn't part of the trick, if you know someone's not going to change their ways, is to find techniques to shield yourself or not have to take the negative impact.
And some of it is acceptance. And that's what we see the spillover from the political arena, the idea that differences can't exist. There's only one way to do things.
Yeah.
There's only one right way. And in the workplace, many years ago, when you probably got your first job, you were told you're going to work with a lot of different kind of people and you're not going to like all of them.
Yes.
But you just learn to accept people. And that is definitely not what's going on now. And when people don't feel accepted, there's isolation. They feel it's not inclusive. So there are things that people can do, and they're really practical things. It's not some complicated theory. It's a lot of it is the golden rule. How would you like to be treated? And when companies make a shift or a pivot, I hear people talking about making a pivot.
They've been watching a lot of basketball, haven't they?
Yeah, right, that too. I do think that it's important to recognize it and to make the linkage between the political arena. Maybe that isn't the cause in a particular company, but there's something going on. I've been in business a long time, and I have seen things change, and it is a concern of mine.
And you mentioned, too, in the introduction that this can also, witness an increase in sexual harassment, because there's a sense of entitlement, isn't there, as far as like how I treat somebody, or I've always talked to a woman this way, why do I have to change now just because of all this hashtag Me Too stuff?
And what's happened is now a very small incident can snowball.
Right.
And suddenly there are complaints and there's litigation and it's a lot bigger deal. But the idea of entitlement is huge, because people now, instead of being more collaborative, will say, my work is more important than yours. Stop what you're doing and help me now. And because they feel entitled. And that is not good for business either.
I would imagine not. Senator, did you in Springfield, and this is something that is much more vocal right now, or people are starting to talk about it, is the culture of, I can't even begin to imagine what the level of toxicity was in Springfield as far as, is it, But maybe not. Maybe you guys were good at leaving it on the floor, you know, when you have your debates and you leave the chamber. It's not a big deal anymore. Or was there a level of toxicity?
Well, it depends on the time of the year.
That's fair, right.
Like near the end of the year and you're running budgets and that kind of illustrated where there were profound differences that existed in terms of values, in terms of how money was being spent and what it was being invested in. But what I noticed is when I resigned in 2015 and I went back and gone back to Springfield for like a year and a half, and I recognized when you can go on the floor as a former senator and how people were behaving towards each other was significantly different in terms of their level of respect and interaction, because there was such a great deal of frustration with the fact there hadn't been a budget passed for a couple years. But there was always, I was always really proud of in working in the Senate, was I thought there was a high degree of civility. I mean, there was a part of you were expected, and people would admonish you to not be personal, to rise above a situation and to be a statesman or a stateswoman. And if you weren't, you would be admonished by one of the elders in the Senate. Said, you know what, you took that a little bit too personally. You need to make that right. So you'd have to go and speak to someone and say, you know, I guess I was too personal in the debate. And then, so I think that has changed
right.
A little bit. And that's unfortunate.
And it is unprofessional when you see this happen. We see people in politics now are so rude, say such vulgar things that you would never have seen that happen in the business community, but now it does spill over. So one of the things that I know helps is to begin with finding random acts of kindness. And I didn't initiate this phrase, but in the workplace, it might mean staying late and helping a coworker who has a deadline to meet, or maybe training a new employee. But there are ways you can show this. And this is where the empathy is exhibited, sharing your time, sharing what you know,
right.
And getting away from this kind of closed, I just here to do my job and then I leave.
Right. Well, that makes sense. And then, Kathy, let me talk about your experience when we come back after
sure.
this break.
Yeah.
We are talking about workplace civility, why it matters, and how to cultivate it. More after this on 720 WGN. Paradise, president of Communication Strategies Company, has more than 25 years of experience helping clients solve communication problems. And we're talking about workplace civility, why it matters, and how to cultivate it. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Also joining us are Senator Dan Katowski, the president and CEO of ChildServe, and Dr. Kathy Tynes, associate professor of medicine at Northwestern, president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society. And I wanted to just make sure that people understand, Julie, we were talking about the workplace civility, and you were talking about, you know, how do we even recognize what are just like small things that are incivil moments in a workplace?
Examples of incivility.
Yes.
Interrupting somebody who's talking over, being consistently late to a meeting and never explaining why, taking offense too easily and then storming away, just too much going on that isn't professional.
It has nothing to do with the work or is impeding the work, especially if you're late, if you're interrupting and not letting other ideas flourish either. Dr. Kathy, you wanted to mention some experiences you've had.
Well, so actually I was really thinking about what Julie was saying about this coming out of the political arena, and I think it's coming out of a larger cultural context that we've been experiencing. And I'm not the first person to say this, but I think it's the rise of social media where people have the ability to say whatever they want to say at all different degrees of foulness and get away with it. They're, you know, they have free rein to you know, spout whatever their opinions are. And I think and probably this has been stoked by all of the intrusions from, you know, external forces, where there are these really really nasty images that have been distributed and promulgated on the internet, on Facebook especially, which have been polarizing our opinions. So I think, you know, there certainly we're seeing it at play in all different arenas in our life,
workplace included, but I think a lot of this has a bigger context.
Well, even in the immediate moment, someone's in their office and they're scrolling through a Facebook page and something gets their, you know, just gets their hostility fired up or their rage or passion or whatever it is, that can affect them too in the workplace.
Absolutely. Social media has played a huge part in changes in the workplace. Of course, they're positive changes. You can Google anything. You can find out information very quickly. But as you just described, there's also a dark side to it. And one of the most challenging things is it's up to the managers and the leadership of companies to set the standard. If the boss is screaming at everybody, it's pretty easy then to excuse it. Oh, that's the way we do it around here. We're just big. We yell. We yell a lot.
We're yellers.
We're yellers, right. And I think this is a huge problem. And once again, if you have leadership in politics that is not something we want to model, then how are we setting a good example?
Set a good example. Let's take a quick break here. More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. It's Wellness Wednesday. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Writing sidecar for a bit of the show is State Senator Dan Katowski, now the president and CEO of ChildServe, helping children reach their potential, leading happier and healthier lives. Senator, you said you had some really good news recently.
Great news. We've been working as part of our strategic plan to expand the number of services for kids who are living in poverty to help them reach developmental milestones and to test ready for kindergarten. And we just received word that we got the funding necessary in order to expand the number of slots by 50.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah, so what's great about this program is it's a when you compare it to other human service investment programs, this costs significantly less. It's $2,500 per child per year, and for every dollar you spend, it's a $13 to $14 return to the community. And most important, the kids in the program, they're immunized, they're connected to a primary health care provider, they go through, we provide home-based services, so their parents become their first teacher, that they learn how to read, they're exposed to more words, they're exposed to more activities, and ultimately they are ready for kindergarten, and it's transformative for them and their families. The moms in our program, 87% of the moms are single, 50% aren't working, 40% have endured some form of domestic violence. And what this does, the bigger picture, is it keeps families together who are living in poverty, and their kids end up being successful in school. So it's a huge win for the families. And related to our mission, we're super excited about being able to help kids to build better lives.
And how can people get involved? Make donations, volunteer, maybe offer supplies?
You can seriously things you've specific early childhood. We have a back to school drive. We collect supplies throughout the summer for thousands of kids, and that happens, and we dispense them in the beginning of September. But people can get involved in our agency. They can be mentors for kids, they can be foster parents, or they can be involved with our back to school drive, but also our holiday drive for kids. We had 1,100 gifts donated for children last year.
So it's such a great
show. Yeah, there's any number of things.
Caring.
Yeah, so it's you know, where I think for us, while other organizations, I'm really proud of this, well, I think other organizations are kind of consolidating, reducing their programs, reducing their services. We didn't. We never compromised service. We never compromised the integrity of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we, in fact, decided, like, we're going to buckle down and we're going to expand. And we have been able to expand. And more families are getting the services that they need at this point. And we're able to invest in their well-being. And to me, and for everyone who works there, our entire team, we're really excited and thrilled about that opportunity.
And we've been talking about workplace civility. We have in studio Dr. Kathy Thompson, who is the Associate Professor of Medicine at Northwestern, President-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society, and Julie Paradise, who's the President of Communication Strategies and has more than 25 years of experience helping clients solve communication problems. Julie, I was wondering, don't you think part of helping a workplace enhance the positive environment, maybe civility, is having a mission like helping an organization like ChildServe? I know Dr. Kathy Tynes asked me how the Fight for Air Climb went this weekend, and everybody here was excited. It's like it's something to sort of rally around and support each other, knowing that you have a common goal, doesn't it?
It is so positive, and this is just what companies try to identify, how to get their people together to work on something for the greater good. And I want to stress that the idea of being positive about this and being optimistic and knowing that there are things that you can do just like that. And I was going to ask my cohorts here today, if you think of one thing that that you think people could do in their workplace that might strengthen instead of break down communication, improve respect, the things that we've been discussing. So jump in.
What do you think, Kathy?
Yeah,
Kathy.
Sure. Yeah. So in my office, we have a star board, and everyone gets a supply of, you know, papers in the shape of a star. And when you observe a coworker doing something, you know, above and beyond, you thank them. And you say, you know, explicitly put their name on there, what they did, and then you put it up on the board. And so at the end of the month, the person who has the most stars gets a little goodie, gets, you know, like a box of cookies or something. But I think it's really helped for people to just start to take notice, not just other people's behaviors, but their own behaviors.
Sure. That's a great idea, and to be aware, and how, yeah, when and you strive for something a little bit. Doctor. Well, we can promote you, Senator, to a doctor if you want.
Do you have... Senator?
You be Senator, you be Doctor.
Madam President.
What would you like? Yes, what
Madam
would you
President?
Like, Julie? Yes.
Madam President Vasquez.
Yeah. Do you have any sort of programs like that, or... something that you know encourages...
Well, I was just thinking it's something I've been working on that I think for a long time I wasn't really mindful of, is that when people were talking, is to breathe before they finish their thought, like to really give them a chance to finish their thought. And like when they finish, is just take a breath before I respond. To really give people the gift of actually listening to what they have to say, and to spend that time doing that. And so we've been trying to, in our workforce, in our culture, and our agency, was to give people a chance to have that airspace to be able to express what their concerns are. So I just personally, that to me is something I've been working on this week, and I've recognized that that people's response has been a favorable one.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you're being mindful. That's probably...
And you're showing respect. When you listen and you don't interrupt, the minute we interrupt other people, it's, you say, my words are more important than yours. So when you really take a beat and you listen, I think that's great. I wanted to piggyback on what Kathy said about the star board. One of my clients has a box, and people who have the acts of, who participate and do an act of kindness can put it in the, it's like a suggestion box. Or if you had someone do an act of kindness to you, you put it in. And then they go back and look at those at the end of the month, and it's just a way, a real down-to-earth, plain, simple way to acknowledge and recognize these acts of kindness. Write it down.
That's positive reinforcement. That's,
yes, yeah. We all know that works.
Classic psychological.
And I would imagine that civility has an impact when it comes to the patient-doctor interaction, whether
absolutely.
It's, and from either way, because I've had doctors who are abrasive, and it's not just even bad bedside manner, just like somebody I'm like, I need to get away from, like, I don't want to be specific, but maybe the neuro specialist that we had for Declan when he was born was somebody I just couldn't wait to get away from. Because of the way he talked to us about our very medically fragile son. And I'm sure that you have patients who come in and you just have to, and you have to get through it, but they're not helping themselves by being rude to you or being discourteous. I mean, because it's their own health.
It works in both directions.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you do see sometimes where people are a little counterproductive in how they approach you. But at the same time, you know, giving people enough time to say what they need to say can be challenging when you feel time pressure in mm-hmm. your work environment, which unfortunately that's happening more and more in the medical realm. So we're taught to listen and not interrupt a patient for at least a full 2 minutes at the beginning of the interview so that they get to say their full piece. And sometimes you're biting your tongue because you want to step in and start asking questions and start moving your diagnostic process along. But you can't. You have to let people vent. And a lot of times it's not just, you know, them giving you information, but they're venting their emotions as well about how this made them feel. And that's an important part of the process as well.
I'm sorry.
No, you go.
Now, that was what was so amazing to me. So I had, through the course of my life, as someone living with epilepsy, I had neurologists, and it was always a very kind of a quick dialogue. And then when I went to an epileptologist, I remember the first time I went to an epileptologist, and he sat with me, and we met for like an hour and a half. And he was like, all right, let's get back to this. Let's find out what actually happened. Take me to the
really?
First time it happened. And it was such a major exhale for me where I felt, you know, validated because I had all these questions and concerns, and I never felt really sure about the diagnosis and really what it meant, and I knew that I was living with it. So it's an incredible gift to give to a patient to spend that amount of time. Now, that being said, you know, sometimes I understand where doctors are coming from, too. The next time the patient comes in, they're like, oh, good, I get an hour and a half. It's like, yeah. I don't have an hour and a half. But
I know. If I spent an hour
right,
and a half with
I
all my patients, I would.
But at the beginning, it was very transformative because you didn't have to from that time forward. But it was a very powerful experience.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, Dr. Michael Stein, tremendous guy.
Let's take a break here, and I'm glad that you found that because, what was it, Dr. Michael Stein, you said?
Yeah, Michael Stein.
Does that sound familiar? I mean, I've seen so many specialists for Declan.
He was at Rush, and he was great.
Well, when you find a good doctor, and there is something to being a good patient, too. Maybe we'll talk about that when we come back, including some other, well, there is, not yet, say you.
No.
I didn't even look at you.
I'm just laughing because it's like, there is, because I, you
there
know.
There is.
Yeah, it's that you have also, you're like, you got to recognize, okay, this isn't a therapy session.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, sometimes it is. Yeah.
It's partially. Yeah.
We've got some topics to talk about when we come back with Dr. Kathy Tynes and our guests, Senator Dan Katowski and Julie Paradise, in a moment on 720 WGN. And they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN-TV Morning News Team weekdays 4 to 10. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is State Senator Dan Katowski, the president and CEO of ChildServe, an organization helping children live happier and healthier lives. Go to childserve.org, but that's childserv.org. Leave the E off because
our work is not done yet.
That's right. Go finish it, will you? Okay. You got a couple more minutes. I'm not letting you stay long, though. You got a lot of work to do.
Thank you.
Also joining us is Julie Paradise. She's been talking to us about civility in the workplace. She is a president of Communication Strategies Company and more than 25 years of experience helping clients solve communication problems. Dr. Kathy Tynes, associate professor of medicine at Northwestern, president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society, and Christiana, I can't pronounce your last name. I'm going to be honest about that. Come close to your microphone just to get all up in there. How do I say your last name?
It's very intimidating.
Shushtari.
Shushtari.
Are you already a doctor officially? Or
almost.
Almost. You're just finishing up medical school.
I passed everything. So.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's going to be such a good feeling.
Yes.
Dr. Tynes comes in on our Wellness Wednesdays with some things that we should be better informed on. And I know Lyme disease is something that we kind of know. Oh, it's from ticks, and I don't know what a tick looks like, and I got bit by something. What should people be aware of, and what should they consider as the weather gets warmer?
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a tick-borne illness. Diagnosed in Connecticut, but it's spread now to Wisconsin and even in Illinois. So we need to be more aware of it. So typically it's transmissible through a tick. You get a tick bite. And within days to weeks, you get a characteristic rash. So it's a red rash that's a ring, and then it spreads outward, and it clears in the middle. So if you do get a tick and you pull it off, you may want to save the tick because it might be important later on
to help
you identify.
I've saved things before, and my husband thought I was crazy. I had something in my finger that I thought was a sliver, but when I pulled it out, it looked like a stinger, and I put it in a Ziploc bag, and I was like, it's probably just a sliver, whatever. And then my finger started to swell, and then there started to be pus, and then there was a line up my arm, and it turned out I brought it to a wellness place. I was on the road. It turned out to be a staph infection. So save stuff. I know. I almost died.
Not all of your bodily fluids.
No, it wasn't a
production.
It looked like a stinger. It was like when it came out, it had like little like lines on it. So
what did they do with the? Oh, so they were able to look in the bag and the.
Well, that was when they. The long story, I'll tell you about it off the air because it got disgusting. But anyway,
more disgusting than this.
Pay attention though. So save it so that they can test it, make sure that because it can be very.
It's a characteristic type of tick that can cause that carries the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. So if it's not a Ixodes type of tick, then you don't have to worry.
So that can be useful. The other thing that can be useful is if you go on a long hike in an area that you fear is infested with ticks, when you come home, take off your clothes and put them in the dryer and run them for a while. What you want to do is kill whatever ticks might be hanging on your clothes.
You don't bring them home. And they can also come in with your pets, too.
Absolutely, yep.
So how do you... these are all things I know. I think about things a lot.
Oh, no, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm just pretending like I don't.
We have to be careful. What are some of the things that you should feel for? I mean, like, just
other
be aware
symptoms?
Of physically,
sure,
yes.
Sure, so a lot of non-specific, almost flu-like symptoms. So fatigue, swollen lymph nodes, just feeling, say, maybe even a fever or chills.
When you say swollen lymph nodes, I don't know what that is. What would I be feeling? I mean, like,
well,
is that...
if you've ever had strep throat, or when people get mono, or even when you get just a bad cold, you feel that you get some tender swelling in your neck.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're typically tender. You can get them in your armpit, in your groin. So those would be places to look.
Okay, excellent. And you also wanted to, did you want to make sure people knew more about Lyme disease?
Yeah, so the Illinois State Medical Society has a link on its webpage, so you can learn more through the webpage isms.org, and you'll be able to get more information and learn what to do when you see the tick and when you should go to the doctor.
Okay. That's important to know, especially as it gets warmer out, people spend more time outside. Be aware. You also want to talk about tobacco. Are we raising the age to 21?
Well, we are trying to. So okay. Illinois State Medical Society is fighting to raise the smoking age in Illinois to 21. We've already made a lot of progress in cutting down smoking. So smoking in public buildings and other public places has been banned since 2008 with the Smoke-Free Illinois Act. Chicago already prohibits the sale of tobacco products to those under 21 and regulates e-cigarettes as tobacco products. The Affordable Care Act requires Medicaid to cover all tobacco cessation medications.
For now.
Yeah. So, yes, hopefully it'll continue. Luckily, Illinois is currently below the national average for tobacco use, which is great, but still 15.1% of adults smoke in Illinois. The national average is 17.5%. 10.1% of Illinois high school students smoke, and the national average is 10.8%. But what we're seeing is a big increase in vaping and e-cigarette use,
yes,
among high school students. Yes.
So. Yeah, we used to have a guest that would come in and vape. By the way, he has stopped, just so you know. People act as though it's not the same as coming in and just smoking.
There's like a cloud that comes out, and they're like, oh, it's nothing. It's
and now they're finding that it actually, because they're drawing it in so deeply.
It's right. Electronic.
Well, you know, so the evidence is mixed about, you know, what harm it causes.
But have there been studies about the impact?
They're ongoing. There have been some studies, and there's some suggestions through animal studies that it may cause cancer. They have identified some carcinogens through the byproducts of the glycol that creates the vapor. What it can do is trigger asthma, especially in teens who are using it instead of smoking. And a lot of these products contain nicotine, so they can create nicotine addiction or lead to actually smoking cigarettes. So teens who have vaped are more likely to smoke a cigarette than teens who haven't vaped.
So, doctors, are they regulated by the National Institute of Health? I mean, who's regulating the product right now?
So, it's not regulated. So, it's just like cigarettes aren't regulated. It's a wild, wild west out there. They typically do put the nicotine content on the labeling, so you're able to choose just like low tar or high tar cigarettes. So there are varying amounts of nicotine, and you can vape without nicotine. So there are, you know, definitely some healthier choices in terms of not, you know, using an addictive substance with the vapor. We know all the bad things with cigarettes, and it's likely that vaping is not as bad as cigarettes, but we still don't know enough about what the harms are. We do know it can lead to addiction, and we do know that it can cause bronchospasm in asthmatics.
It makes common sense, but I just know that there are so many people that will be resisting changing the laws to 21 years old. But And the other thing to consider, and I don't think people realize this either, I know that people will say, well, if you're old enough to vote and you're old enough to go to war, you should be able to smoke, right? But the other thing is to consider that your brain hasn't also fully formed by the time you're 18 years old, and that can have an addiction on top of your brain not being done yet, I would imagine has beyond just, even if you quit years down the road, neurologically, it has to leave an imprint.
Well, and just the fact that, you know, those are your high pressure, peer pressure years or in your teen years. If you wait until you're 21, you're going to be much less likely to smoke. So keeping, you know, the cigarettes and e-cigarettes out of kids' hands before age 21 will hopefully lead to much less use down the road.
What did you also want to tell us about network adequacy? What is that?
So we were talking about this earlier. This is the legislation that actually lovely Christiana here and I worked on together and passed in the legislature last year.
Congratulations on
this.
Thank you. Absolutely.
She's got an interesting background in public policy. So.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were telling me that you had a life before you started medical school.
Yes.
What kind of life did you have before medical school? Before you lost your life using going to medical school and having long hours?
I know. I thought my life before this was hard. My most glamorous job, I guess, was I used to work in the U.S. Senate for Majority Leader Harry Reid at the time.
Okay.
I was doing their health care portfolio before ACA passed. So I have a policy background. I can look stuff up.
So this is to be a fun time for you right now.
It is interesting.
Can I ask you about, because was it during the time, like around 2010, 2011, that you were working in D.C.?
It was in 2009, 2010.
So was there ever a moment when we could have gone full throttle and ever gone single payer, got everything that never, there was never a moment?
That's a really good question. I would actually meet with a lot of the constituents at the time, and it's an interesting perspective to have, the position that I was in. A lot of individuals were really upset that they didn't go full throttle because the Congress, you know,
I'm saying me.
Oh, yeah.
I was one of them. I'm like, go full throttle, everybody.
Pretty pissed off, basically. And they didn't realize, like, it's a lot of compromise involved, even though both sides of Congress were Democrats, too, so people were even more, I guess expectations were very high, a lot of, you know, hope and change stuff, which I was part
of,
too.
Changey? Go ahead,
yeah,
kid.
I was part of the hopey changey thing. I worked on the campaign before that, too, but it is about politics. I mean, it's about compromise. People, there are different stakeholders there having different thoughts. I mean, to get things done, you have to work with a lot of different opinions and personalities.
Senator, you don't know what that's like at all, do you? Do you have any concept of that?
Just a little bit.
When the Illinois budget passed last year, one of the legislators was telling me that, like, just to get the budget done, like, he said it's just like you're bored at work where you have to, like, make sure that if this one's too high or this one's too low, if you move anything, you destroy the entire possibility of getting anything done.
If there's somebody who's ecstatic in the process, then you really haven't done your job. So
everyone's got to be at least a little miserable.
Well,
it's
I'm
like
miserable.
A family vacation. There's always, everybody can't be happy. Just happy enough.
Well, I'm miserable because you must take leave of us. This is your heart out at 12:30. You'll be replaced by John Bolger. We might continue our conversation about politics and medicine if everybody wants to hang out. Julie, are you staying with us? Or are you leaving as well?
Okay.
Here, what was that?
Wonderful to be here.
Are you done? You done with us?
You've left me with a lot of things to think about as well.
Well, if people want to find out more about the work that you do and as a consultant and as a speaker for helping people solve their communication problems at work, where can they find out more about you?
I am in Chicago, and I have a website, which is communicatestrategies.com. I'm also available on the phone, 312-988-4060, and I would love to hear from them because I think this is a subject we need to pay attention to.
I agree, and I look forward to having you back very soon.
I hope so. This has been really fun.
I'm glad you liked it. Let's get a photo done before we go. Let's get a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. Wednesday, we talk about all things health related, and we have in studio with us Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the Associate Professor of Medicine at Northwestern and is the President-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society. Christiana Schutari is a medical student, doctor-to-be. John Bolger, have you ever gone to medical school?
No, but I'd like to.
Okay.
Is it, what, 7 years? Is that 7 years?
Four years of school, 3+ years of residency.
Can I skip organic chemistry?
No. Absolutely not.
I don't think it's possible.
You have to take it twice.
Christiana was mentioning before we went to the break that she had worked in D.C. Around the time when the American Affordable Care Act, the ACA, the is that right?
American Affordable Care Act.
I can't remember.
ACA.
Yeah. Obamacare.
The sausage-making process.
The sausage was made. And I hear a lot of people saying that it was the way that it rolled out ended up hurting a lot of people. Some people it helped.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was where it became problematic, especially the people it hit the hardest when they saw their premiums go up. They had been told, you don't have to worry about changing your doctor. Your premiums won't go. There were a lot of things, and people were very angry afterwards. And for me, my husband and I had hoped that we would go to single payer. That was kind of our pipeline dream. Jamie had some thoughts on politics and healthcare. Hey, Jamie, what do you want to say?
Oh, yeah, you know, the whole thing about the healthcare bill, you know, you can say that there's a lot of neat, good things that you could do with it. However, the one problem is when you do that with the federal government, it goes outside of the constitutional power that the federal government has. And you can see that in the Bill of Rights. Because you can see the one that says all the powers that aren't enumerated are reserved for the states, which includes insurance
and
health care.
When the Supreme Court had a case before them when the president was actually being sued, and Justice Thomas decided that actually was not the case, that was a ruling by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the other one is that
Roberts. You have to identify that. Right. So
you're
saying it's unconstitutional when actually Judge Roberts determined that that wasn't the case. That it was.
It was.
And the reason he did that, and this is also another constitutional error, is that he said it was a tax. Now all tax bills must originate in the House of Representatives, and that tax portion came from the Senate. And so procedurally, it's unconstitutional on that manner, too.
Well, I believe he actually protected the Affordable Care Act in his decision.
It was an incorrect decision.
So do you have experience as a Supreme Court justice?
I was going to say, that's some bold. That's some boldness.
What is your background?
What's your background?
I got my degree in computer science, and I studied the Constitution very intently.
Excellent.
Okay, so his ruling, what would you like to do then? Would you like to take the case back to the courts?
I would. I definitely would. But what I'm saying is that insurance is under the realm of the states, not the federal government. And the founders would be rolling in their graves with that decision.
So Medicare is federal.
Or the framers. I'm sorry, the framers.
So is Medicare also not constitutional?
It is extraordinary constitutional.
How would you define that?
That runs to the state. It's health care.
So now you just changed and sent it back to the state.
But it's federally. It's actually
federally mandated.
It's federally mandated.
And federally
funded. Correct.
And federally funded.
That's external to the constitutional powers of the federal government.
Do you think Social Security shouldn't exist?
We're having a lot of trouble tracking.
I do.
How?
I know. I kind of guessed that.
Christiana, having worked on this policy, I'm not sure I'm tracking where Medicare is federal. It's okay for Jamie, but not the Affordable Care Act as a tax.
Medicare and all that is extraordinary to the federal powers. It should be in the states.
So you're saying that Medicare is illegal as well?
And Social Security.
Unconstitutional.
He's a libertarian.
And Social Security.
He's a libertarian.
They all are.
Oh, they're all unconstitutional.
So where do you draw the line then? Is that just at our defense then? So you're fine with government paying for defense, but nothing else. Is that accurate?
Well, defense is actually, I believe,
defense is in the constitutional.
General welfare. Yes. Define general welfare then? Is that defense or is that just people existing?
No, defense is a different thing. The common defense and then general welfare.
What is general welfare to you?
That you're generally protected by, you know, police, fire.
I don't think
there's
a national police force.
I don't think there's a national police force. That's local. That's state.
The Commerce Act allows for building roads and bridges.
Right.
But how, why would you define general welfare as excluding health care?
General welfare goes to the state.
But it's no, but you just said general welfare. No,
you're
just
picking
said,
and choosing.
Hold on,
you're,
hold on, everybody.
Jamie,
you just said general welfare is in the Bill of Rights or in the Constitution. Is it?
In the Constitution. It's not in the Bill of Rights.
Okay, so if it's in the Constitution, if general welfare is in the Constitution, then I think that we're good. So have a wonderful evening, Jamie.
Take care.
I don't know. I mean, we could go around and around. General welfare, if we want to go with a definition, if it's in the Constitution, it's in the Constitution. It's a selection that, a section that, that appeared in many constitutions as well as some charters and statutes, which provides that the governing body empowered by the document may enact laws to promote the general welfare of the people, sometimes worded as the public welfare. It doesn't say anything else.
What I noticed is there was always the states' rights argument, which is fine. By a certain definition and jurisdiction, but it's not the constant norm. And I, every time Jamie kept bringing that up, he wanted to go to states' rights.
Right.
He doesn't accept the federal government as a mandate aside from defense.
Can I say one thing that I learned from my experience? I did a lot of the correspondence during that time.
Yeah.
And the one thing I thought was very fascinating is that people have talking points, and it just gets regurgitated and repeated over and over again, and on both sides. I'm not trying to be biased about that. And healthcare is very complicated, and it's...
I didn't know it was that complicated.
Yeah, and it's just...
Who knew?
You know, everybody can spit a fact here and there and recite something to defend their own views. So... It's hard
how
to have
move
a
the needle.
Yeah, so
it's
hard
Jamie,
to have a conversation.
Jamie just said no. She wasn't just rolling her eyes at you. She was rolling her eyes at me with my with my random facts as well. Just so we're clear on this, she's like, okay, well, Patty's got her constitution in her back pocket, too.
So we all have opinions.
She, Patty said Justice Thomas when she meant Justice Roberts. Justice Thomas hasn't spoken a word in about 50 years. So,
who was the senator who said, you're entitled to your own opinions, you're not entitled to your own facts? And I really respect that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. Chicago Senator, I believe.
Well, but the thing is, we have all of our own facts, just that we use them in different ways.
Judiciously.
Judiciously, and perhaps, you know, in ways that are not necessarily always accurate. So,
true that.
But, by the way, I believe that your brother is calling a full hour earlier. We have
what?
Hold on. Let's go to a break, and we'll do a White Sox. You know what? He's probably in a different time zone.
He's in Arizona.
He's in Arizona.
Yeah, he is.
So I'm not. It's all right, Jay. Jay, you hold on. We are doing White Sox Wednesday on top of it. I'm not sure if White Sox Wednesday and Wellness Wednesday
crazy.
Should go in the same place. No, Kasera. Are you also a White Sox fan?
I'm a Chicago fan. Whoever's winning, I'm supporting.
All right, fine. I just am not sure if White Sox belong in my Wellness Wednesday.
Why not? It's a really good balance.
You're testing me, John. Jay Bolger's on hold. He is down at spring training. More with our guests when we come back at 720 WGN. Jamie, I do want to make sure you know we appreciate your call. I just wanted to be able to make sure we could finish the conversation because you weren't letting us. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We're joined by Dr. Kathy Tynes. Oh, you know, before I go around the horn and reintroduce everybody, I have not, because we've had every single microphone taken, I have not had a chance to check in with, hold on, let me make sure she's there. Hi, Esmeralda. Hi. Didn't mean that.
Hey.
I'm so sorry that I haven't had a chance to check in with you.
Oh, no problem.
It's been busy. It's been a little crowded in here. And then we open up the phones and things happen. How have you been?
I've been good.
Excellent. I sat in your booth last night to tell you that I believe I was coming down with something, and I'm trying not to get too close to people, but what a terrible week for me to not feel great, because I'm supposed to be in the St. Patrick's Day parade, and I have an idea, Esmeralda, and tell me if I'm crazy, which I please do. I don't like wearing a lot of green, and it's going to be chillier than we thought it was going to be. Our friends from Morton Steakhouse said it was going to be in the 50s, and now we're seeing high 30s. Because I like to braid my hair and put it like a Frida Kahlo style on top of my head, I'm thinking I weave in some big Frida Kahlo flowers.
Ooh.
Green, like big green flowers.
Yeah, that'd
that way
be cool.
I'm kind of doing double duty. Irish and Mexican in the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
There you go. I like
Stay
it.
True. Stay no, true to your heritage.
Not as many people show up for the Cinco de Mayo Parade.
Now, is the unibrow going to happen, too?
Oh, no. No,
talented.
Did you see, Esmeralda, that they made a Frida Kahlo Barbie doll, but people are really upset that they prettified her? As an artist, I don't think she would have liked that, because Sarah, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I saw it, and I was highly disappointed in it. They took away the unibrow and everything.
Right.
I mean, it just looks like Barbie.
Yeah.
Barbie with dark hair.
They slapped her in a pretty dress, put some flowers in her hair, and then they said she was Frida Kahlo. No, so I'm not going to be Frida Kahlo. Frida Kahlo-style hair.
Nice.
Yes.
Boom. That's how you describe that.
Frida Kahlo-style, yes, homage, nice. Too, which is not what the Barbie doll is doing. We have Dr. Kathy Tynes in studio with us. She's Associate Professor of Medicine at Northwestern, President-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society, also Christiana Shutari, who is finishing medical school, doctor to be. And they're here. It's an overlap of Wellness Wednesday and White Sox Wednesday. And I think it's appropriate that I have doctors in studio. We are now the flagship radio station for the Chicago White Sox. And as a lifelong Cubs fan, I'm fine. It's fine. It's really, really exciting. Steve has a request for you. My husband was like, could it not just always be Southsiders do this and Northsiders do that? that was a request I have for my husband.
So Southsiders do this, where we just do these, that's, and those.
Like,
and
this,
you do this.
Apparently, one Southsider calls in a full hour earlier. Did you tell your brother Jay to call in?
I think Jay's had a couple IPAs, cocktails.
Hey, Jay, are you out in Arizona?
Yeah, actually, I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona.
You're in Scottsdale. What's the name of the park that the White Sox spring train at?
That is Camelback Ranch. Was there this evening. It was a beautiful facility, both the Dodgers and the White Sox. We were actually at the Dodgers-Rockies game this evening.
Oh, that's fun.
Beautiful facility.
How many games are you going to catch this week?
So I'm going Friday. I'm going to actually go to the Cubs-White Sox on Friday at Camelback.
Nice. This is going to be the...
St. Paddy's Day, the White Sox and the Dodgers, and then on Sunday, actually, the Rockies and the Giants. So, yeah, it should be fun.
That's catching a lot of games. John, you've never been down for... Have you hung out with him for spring training?
No, I got to work.
Doc, have you been to spring training?
No, never.
Never?
I'd love to.
Christina, are you a baseball fan?
My family is. Actually, my brother is a diehard White Sox fan.
Oh, interesting. Oh.
I like your brother already.
He'd be very jealous that I'm even talking about it right now.
Nice.
So how are we looking? How are the Sox looking? I guess, essentially because they're the WGN team.
A lot of young talent, and that's what I'm down here to see. I figured this is the best time to see him because they put in a lot of scrubs. For instance, the game we're at tonight, my brother-in-law, Andy, he's an avid Rockies fan, and he recognized everybody they were putting in until we got to the seventh inning when they're putting the guys in with the 98s and 86s, and he's like, and they don't have pictures of them to put up on the scoreboard, so he goes, I don't know who these guys are. So that's the problem with spring training games. The
you don't know who they
innings,
are.
You know everybody, and then the last few innings, you're like, I don't know who this guy is.
Hey, Jay, I texted you earlier. Did you hear that Avi got yelled at for not legging out a single?
Yeah, well, it's spring training, and you can tell when you watch some of the professionals play this game during spring training. They're not as into it as the regular season, unfortunately.
I can imagine. I was wondering the other night because we were having a late start. The first inning started. I mean, the game started. First pitch was at. I was trying to make sure I didn't say drop puck because that's what I've been saying for like the last
drop
several
the puck.
Years. Well, for the Blackhawks game, so we had a late start. We haven't had baseball on the station in a few years. I was actually
with the Bears.
Do you guys remember at all? There was a Cubs game when there was a quick hit of rain. Like early in the game, they'd rolled out the tarp, but they had done it to the point where the tarp filled with water, and when they tried to retract it, the infield filled with water. They basically flooded the infield, and they had to delay the game. They held the game, and they kept trying to, like, they were like, we're not sure. They wouldn't throw back the station to my show until 10 minutes.
You were
minutes.
In no man's land. You were in limbo.
I was just sitting in the studio. We pre-recorded everything. At 10 minutes to 2 a.m., they finally called the game. I don't... Do the Sox ever have the situation where I don't even know how you would continue a game in the middle of the
night? Oh, yeah. They had tons of delays. There was a rain delay. Jay, do you remember that one? It was against probably the Brewers. I actually didn't have to go to school the next day because it went so far.
Well, you were supposed to go to school. Your parents let you out of going to school.
No, just because my dad was cool.
I get.
He's like, no, you stayed up late. We had some hot dogs. You're good. You're falling asleep. You don't go to school tomorrow.
There you go.
Wow.
Doc,
lucky.
Dad, have you ever been to a game that was delayed?
No.
Yeah.
The only thing that brings to mind is the World Series with the Cubs and that.
Oh, the 10th inning and that rain? Yeah.
The rain delay.
That's probably the most, you know.
That got him the trophy, that Rainbow
that,
Lake. So
that did. It did.
It made the rest of us crazy, but yeah, so it was exciting.
I need to take a break here. Jay, do you want to hold on and have a, I think I kind of get the feeling it would be fun to do a,
oh yeah,
an iTunes psychic reading done for Jay Bolger.
Jay? That sounds fantastic. All right. Into that. I got it.
During the news, make sure you have the last three songs you randomly heard. And if you want to, you can randomly listen to three songs right now. Let me take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. Wellness Wednesday. You know what? I think everybody needs to take a deep breath in. Let it out. Well, you should let it. Yeah, you should let it out. Definitely let it out. I feel bad. I shouldn't. Esmeralda probably shouldn't deep breathe on the air. It's probably not the best sound. It's like, here's what the inside of my nose sounds like. That's not pleasant. I apologize to everyone involved. Dr. Finus, I apologize.
When I tell patients to take a deep breath, I specifically tell them in and out through your mouth.
Oh, through my mouth? Why?
Oh, sure, because I don't want to hear your snot either.
The rattling.
It does rattle.
All right, everyone take a deep breath through your mouth. Well, you're at home. You're in your car. You do it any way you want. We are in studio. It's John Bolger, who is our White Sox expert. His brother, Jay Bolger, on the line, who is down in Arizona for spring training. Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is a Cubs fan, as am I. Christiana, who is a non-specific relative of baseball fans. And actually, on Wednesday night...
And your brother's a White Sox fan. That's all that matters.
Don't accuse her of stuff. And so, on the line with us, we have Jay Bolger, who's down in Arizona for the White Sox training camp. And on the line, as always, is Dr. Dingman every Wednesday night. He graces us with his generously with his time to impart upon us his insight. He is the world-renowned iTunes psychic. And you have an appearance coming up soon, don't you?
Yes, I do, Patty. I'm going to be at the Improv in Chicago there on Thursday, April 12th.
Thursday.
Do a live podcast and a comedy show there.
Thursday, April 12th. Do they go to your website or the Improv's website for ticket information?
They will go to the Improv's website. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'll put the link up after the program.
What a great opportunity for people to see you live and in person, and I look forward to that show. Now, Jay, you were given...
We could say things in a club that you can't say on the radio, Patty. Sometimes when I'm on your program, I get visions from people that I can't really articulate on AM radio because of the depth of the depravity in them.
Whoa! By the way, he did a spectacular reading for my mother one time, and I have to say it was a great experience. He's done some great readings in person, and of course he does them every week on our show. And we have on the line with us Jay Bolger. Jay, now have you ever had a psychic reading done of any kind?
No, I have not.
Oh, interesting. All right. Dr. Dingman, Jay, take it away, boys.
All right, Jay, tell me the last three songs that you've randomly heard.
AC/DC, Back in Black.
Okay.
Katy Perry, Hot and Cold.
Okay.
And the Rolling Stones, Satisfaction.
Okay. All right, so we've got Back in Black, Hot and Cold, Satisfaction. What these thoughts are telling me is that you are wrestling with some sort of major life decision right now. True or false?
I'd say false.
You're not considering changing a job or moving or some big financial choice?
Actually, I did just get promoted a few weeks ago to a supervisor position at my job.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm seeing, this Back in Black, Hot and Cold, going back and forth, you're not getting your satisfaction, which is your third song, right? You've been trying to get a promotion, working hard and doing these things and feeling frustrated, I think, on a certain level, and now that is broken through, that's what the Back in Black, right?
Okay.
When you get a promotion, you're making more money, you get fired and you end up in the red, so being Back in Black is good. Hot and Cold, you were stuck in the middle, in the gray area, and now you're getting your satisfaction, which is a new promotion, correct?
Yeah, yes, that is correct.
Okay. Okay. I think also you're beginning... Are you I'm seeing strength and like a old-time muscle man. The cartoon guys on the Monopoly board, that style of art.
Okay.
I'm picturing now that guy lifting a barbell with a big curly mustache. That's what I'm... Are you a fireman or a coast guard or something like that?
No, oddly enough, I am now a supervisor in probation. So... People dealing with people, you know, yeah.
In probation.
Well, it's probation, so they've already been sentenced.
You're not on probation, you're in probation. Big difference, right?
Yeah, I supervise probation officers who are monitoring defendants that are on probation, so I'm now their supervisor.
Okay, that's what I was seeing as well. I was saying in and out, back and forth, boom, boom, boom. That's what these people on probation, right? They're in jail, they're out of jail. If they screw up, you throw their asses back in jail. That's what probation is, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was seeing, this indecision gray area there. Is it a job that you liked, Jay? You enjoy it?
Yeah, actually, I love my job. I've been doing it for almost 20 years now. I like it a lot.
Great. If you weren't in probation, what would you do, do you think? What would your career have been?
Probably in some kind of, no, actually, like broadcasting, sports broadcasting.
Wow.
Play-by-play or analysis, you know, sports.
Okay, that's vibration as well. So many people are working jobs, Jay, that they hate. They're not suited for. They're miserable when they get up and go to work, right? You're not one of those guys.
No, I actually look forward to going to work every day.
Yeah, which is the way it should be. You realize that you're fortunate in that area. And I think a lot of people that call your show, Patty, a lot of people that call the show, they are unsettled or they are not... on the path they want to be on, for lack of a better word. And Jay is a great example of someone who is on the path, right? Sometimes these readings tell you, turn back, you're going to go over the cliff, forget about it. Other times they're just saying, you know, keep on trucking, like the cartoon back in the 70s would say, right? And I think you're a keep on trucking guy, Jay.
Well, hey, that works for me. Then I'll just keep on trucking, for sure.
Do you have a specific question you would like answered, an issue?
No, actually, no. Not, I don't have any issues or anything right now. If you give me, like, probably, I don't know, 20 hours, I could probably come up with something.
Wow. How are the White Sox going to do this year?
I'm going to guess probably, like, mid-70s win-wise. Just want to see production out of the young guys, see if they look like major leaguers. And then next year I'm expecting to jump to where they should be more competitive in the division and maybe, you know, hunt for a wild card, be in playoff contention.
Your thought, Dr. Dingman?
Wow. Yeah, you know what? You could have been a sportscaster. That was very fluid, Jay. Very fluid. Now, what would you say if one of the players on the ball team was arrested or something? How would you, you know, what's the talk you give someone when they visit you?
First of all, yeah. God forbid a pro athlete would have any kind of legal issues. It's not like we see that every day.
That would be fantasy, right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But mostly I'd explain to them as anyone, if when you enter the professional, unlike other normal citizens, that you're under a microscope even more so because you're constantly being watched, you're constantly being monitored, not just by your teammates, but by the media, by, you know, fans, everything. So you almost have to tread even more, you know, lightly on eggshells and really watch everything you say and do. Because everything can be taken out of context if you're not careful.
Hey, Jay, I have a question. Esteban Loaiza.
If you're a professional athlete, you're on probation, it sounds like.
Hey, Jay, I have a question. Esteban Loaiza, is he on Scram right now after his cocaine bust, after snorting up the base paths?
Yeah, Scram would be for alcohol monitoring, but I'd imagine he might be doing some form of drug testing while he's out on the
Okay.
So, I'm just guessing. I could be off, but I'm just guessing.
Wow.
I'm curious, Jay. The first time people visit their probation officer, is there a speech that you guys give them? You know, are you good copping them? Are you bad copping them? Do you scare them, like threatening a child to take them to, you know, the orphanage? What do you say? What's your rap?
Well, yeah, so right off the bat, well, first thing, when you're on probation, that means you've already been sentenced, so you've already been found guilty of whatever the charge you were charged with. So when you're talking to them, you go through their sentencing, you explain to them all the conditions over the next 2 years, what they have to do. You explain if you need help doing this, we can aid you in certain areas, whether it's rehab, whether it's treatment, whether, you know, it's completing SWAP or community service hours or anything like that.
But the bottom line is, they're already found guilty, so you're kind of in the driver's seat. They realize, you explain to them, if you don't follow these conditions, we send you back to court, which could mean, you know, you spend more time in jail. Jay, no, no offense, but you're not scaring me.
We don't want to scare him.
Like, it sounds like you're a waiter reading the specials for the day. Where's the menace? How are you going to scare me?
We're not trying to scare him. It's probation. We want him to complete it. If you scare him, both people just bail and run away. So we want him to complete their probation. We don't want to scare him too bad.
Oh, so you're more good cop than bad cop.
Yeah, you can. Well, it depends. You're good cop some days, and you have to be bad cop other days if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So you kind of wear both those roles. You know, you put both masks on.
I would say, now, I'm going back to your songs again, Back in Black, Hot and Cold, and Satisfaction. I'm sensing, Jay, that you are much more a Hutch than a Starsky. True or false?
True.
That's very strong. Your Hutch vibe is very strong.
Hey, Doctor, can I be Huggy Bear?
You can be whoever you want, sure. That's the beauty of this country. You can be Huggy Bear, you can be Teddy Bear, you can be whatever.
Jay, it has been a pleasure learning about you, your career, and your Hutch status as in law enforcement. How long are you in Arizona for?
We come back on the 20th. So, I got almost another week left. So, yeah.
Well, have a great time. Safe travels back, and sometime you can tag along with John. And,
all right, sounds good.
If you happen to be up in the middle of the night.
I just say one more thing. Go Loyola Ramblers tomorrow against Miami. Go Ramblers.
Woo-hoo! Ramblers.
At 11 versus 6 NCAA tournament, all right?
All right. Go Ramblers. All right. Safe travels.
Hey, Chicago. Got a pope. Thank you very much. Love you, Johnny. Take care.
Take care, buddy.
That was nice.
Love you, too.
Tyler Damon. Bye, Jay. Dr. Damon, we have a listener on hold. We have Gary, who's going to be on after the break, and then we have Christiana, who's going to get a reading done after the news, if you don't mind, for two more segments. Does that sound good?
That's fine, Patty. Wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate your time again. Dr. Damon will be at the Schaumburg Improv on April 12th. Go to the Improv website to find out more, or follow him on Twitter at iTunes Psychic. You can also find his podcast on iTunes. More after this on 720 WGN. It's one of the top 10 comedy podcasts. There you go.
Go see him.
Every Wednesday night, we've had the pleasure of welcoming Dr. Lars Dingman to our show for his iTunes Psychic segment, and now you can catch him live at the Improv in Schaumburg on April 12th. Go to the Improv's website. Again, that's on April 12th at the Schaumburg Improv. You can have a live reading done, and apparently he gets to use language that perhaps he doesn't have access to while he's on my show. And by the way, Dr. Dingman, we do appreciate that you refrain. That's been I didn't realize how much restraint you were showing.
Patty, sometimes I feel like I'm going to hemorrhage. I show so much restraint.
Biting your tongue.
Yeah.
That'll do it. That's a very vascular organ.
Patty, it's not me. These are vibrations that are in the universe, permeating the universe. I'm just tuning them in. And some people modulate in an acceptable level, and some people, you know, they're jag-offs, and it comes through in the vibration.
That's a very South Side term. I like it.
I haven't heard that since I was in grade school.
Yeah, forget about it.
I have to. I love all of this, and I love that we have our guests in the studio to enjoy this moment. John Bolger, Dr. Kathy Tynes. We have Christiana with us, and on the line, holding patiently for a reading, is Gary. Hi, Gary. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good, Daddy. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Hey,
I'm still waiting for you. I'm still waiting for you to let me know when you're going to be out of our way so I can come and see you.
I know. I'm not going to be at the Rosemont Zanies for a bit, but I'm going to be at the Arlington. Good enough for you? Because I will be there in April.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's even closer.
I'll be at the Metropolis coming up in mid-April, so I'll get more information about that to you and make sure that you know. It's going to be in April at the Metropolis doing my one woman
show. And it's going to sell out. I'm seeing it's going to sell out, Patty, so people buy the tickets soon, because I'm seeing people lined up outside of a door.
Oh, thank you for that. Get your tickets to the Metropolis Theater in Arlington Heights. All right, Gary, but this is about you. Take it away, gentlemen.
What are the last three songs that you randomly heard, Gary?
Okay, you know, and I'm going to tell you honest to God's truth, and if you need to know, this is going to be weird, but the last one I heard was, I believe the name of it was The Wedding Song, like, oh, how you danced on the night we were met. I think that's the last one. I heard it just recently, about a half hour ago. And the one before that was Mockingbird. And the one before that was Happy Birthday. I heard them all today, and those are the last three songs I heard.
Okay, so we've got, that is quite an eclectic group of three songs. The Wedding Song, Mockingbird, and Happy Birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those are all, like, public domain.
Happy Birthday was...
Do you live in an elevator?
No. I guess today was Cochran's birthday, and when I was listening to him, they were saying happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a national holiday for that guy.
Yeah, I know. I understand. You know, I wish I had his deep pockets, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Listening to him is the best revenge.
And then later on, early evening, I had to go out somewhere to go shopping, and there was a tape on in my truck, and the song was playing was Mockingbird. And then I came home, and now I was going through some old boxes in the garage, and I found an old decanter from my mother and father. That it was a music box, and I played it, and there it was, The Wedding Song. Hmm. So those are the last three songs I heard. I heard them all today.
Wow, Gary, you just recited what could be a mini-series on Netflix. That was, what a day.
That is eclectic.
I think what these songs are saying, The Wedding Song, Mockingbird, and Happy Birthday, is you are looking, you're you're older than 50 years old, correct, Gary?
You ain't kidding. As a matter of fact, your last caller about the Loyola Ramblers, I was rooting for them in 1959 when they won the championship.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So you're a man of a certain age. What I'm seeing with these three songs, Gary, is you're kind of looking back through your life wistfully and happily. The Disney thing, the one looks in the mirror and says, who's the fairest of all? Then the other one, there's trouble. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
No, I'm not quite. I didn't quite understand what what Disney thing are you?
Snow White, I think.
Yeah, I think it's Snow White. Okay. You could look into the mirror, i.e. you could look at yourself, and some people have negative views of themselves. They're down on themselves all the time. Or you could look into a mirror and see reality, or you could see a rosy picture. I think you're in a kind of a reflective mood lately. Have you lost someone in your family in the last 4 or 5 months?
No.
Okay.
Do you want to?
Have you...
hey, you know, listen. There's probably people that didn't recognize my voice now, so don't.
Have there recently been something, a big event, something that you're looking back on fondly? Have you been reminiscing a lot, true or false?
I do. Every day I do. really.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I do every day. I look back on things fondly, you know, but they're a long ways away, way in the past.
Right. Well, you know what? What you're doing, Gary, is you're bringing the happiness of the past into your future, and you have a great laugh. You're bringing happiness and joy. That's what the Mockingbird song is, right? You're the kind of guy who could get hit in the face with a 3-pound bag of crap and you'd laugh. True or false?
You want me to say, you're asking me a question? I'm going to get with a bag of crap. you know, I'm not that old. No, I'm not going to laugh.
Happen. I'm not saying you want it to happen. I'm saying, if it did and it didn't break and it would make like a funny sound hitting your face, you would laugh before you would scream at the guy.
As long as it didn't break, I'm fine with it, sure.
See, that's you're like a duck. You just let it roll off your back.
Right.
I try.
Right. And that's what mockingbirds do. When crap is rolling off their back, they mock. They laugh at the universe. Because you have that glow inside you, Gary. And that is what's made your life so grand. And that's why you enjoy looking back on your memory. So many people have lives that are just filled with bitter disappointment and hatred and fighting. And when they look back on their lives, they're miserable. You're the opposite. You've had a great life. And you're kind of, you know, it's like you're watching your DVR and you're watching your favorite shows and you're in them all.
You know, I'm glad you said that. I never looked at it that way, but thank you. That was very encouraging.
There you go.
All right, Dr. Dingman.
Yay!
Well, I'm glad.
For the win.
Oh, Gary. Always.
Well, thanks for calling, Gary. Keep keeping up, as they say.
Yeah, hey, listen, good luck over there in Schaumburg. Maybe I will see you sometime live.
You should go see him on the 12th.
You should.
That'd be a blast.
He's great.
Yeah, come out, Gary. I would love to meet you.
Let me check with the little woman and see what she's got to do.
Gary, you are a smart man because you always check the schedule with her. Otherwise, there's a brick in your head.
Smart man.
Right. Smart man.
And then you have no good memories. You just have sad memories. Exactly, because you can't remember anything. You have a brick in the head.
Here, and by the way, Gary, go see Dr. Dingman on the 12th of April, and then come see me do Lipstick Mom at the Arlington Metropolis on April 20th. All right?
April 20th.
Yes.
Well, what do I do? Say that you invited me? I'll talk to you before then.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, you can order tickets on their website. Talk to you later, Gary. Thank you. Renowned iTunes psychic joins us every Wednesday to share his dazzling insight using the last three songs that you heard randomly. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me in studio are John Bolger, Dr. Kathy Tynus, Christiana, I'm going to say it, Shusari. And on the line,
God bless
with,
you.
On the line with us is, of course, the world-renowned iTunes psychic. I didn't have a chance to ask you where in the world you are tonight, sir.
I'm in Hanalei Bay in Hawaii.
Nice.
Wow.
What a lovely way to spend your
Mookie
evening.
Mookie laka laka.
Now, Christiana, have you had a chance to have a reading done by anyone before?
No. It's
never?
My first.
Excellent.
My very first.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So, Dr. Dingman, she has three songs ready to go. Christiana, yes. What are the last three songs you randomly heard?
Okay. So, I looked at my playlist, my Spotify playlist. Where We Go from Pink, Warriors, Imagine Dragon, and then I did throw in, there was a Miley Cyrus song in there. I love the Malibu song.
Okay. Malibu song?
It's a great
Miley
beach
Cyrus.
Song. Yeah, it's a great
Malibu.
Beach. I know, I'm embarrassed, but
No,
keeping
don't
it real.
Okay. All right, Christiana, so we've got the Where We Go, Lawyer, and Malibu, those are the three?
Warriors.
Warrior, okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
different than
yeah.
a lawyer.
Yeah,
there's some overlap.
Yeah.
Most lawyers I know would, you know,
they're warriors.
They'd be at the back of the line if there was a fight, but they'll be up front in a court. Where We Go, Warrior, and Malibu.
Yes.
I'm seeing Where We Go. You're not where you want to be yet. Are you a student of some kind?
I am. I'm almost done with medical school.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's the warrior, right? You're fighting the snake. What do you call the thing with the two snakes around it?
Right.
The symbol.
Caduceus.
The what?
Caduceus or something.
Caduceus,
yes.
Oh, you're a good student. That's right, the Caduceus. You're the warrior.
I'm a warrior princess, yes.
Right, you're fighting disease and you're helping make people feel better. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you're in it to help humanity, sure. But you want to make some dough so you could retire someplace nice and live in a beautiful place like Malibu. The lifestyle of being a doctor appeals to you almost as much, if not more, than the actual doctoring of doctor. True or false?
False. I it's you don't become a doctor to make money. But I would love that. I would love that house on the Malibu.
Wait, you don't become a doctor to make money? Do you know how many people from third world countries are like, I'm completely messed up. Why?
No. So much debt.
There's so many easier ways to make money. It's a lot of commitment.
Of course. Yeah, I'm not saying it's primarily a financial concern, I'm saying, but you go through all that work, and that's certainly something that it appeals to you.
Yeah,
right?
It's a stable job for sure.
Okay. I'm seeing you're not currently married, correct?
Correct. Parents are not happy about that.
Oh, man.
It's been a while.
I hope my boyfriend.
It's been a while since you've had a serious relationship. I'm seeing two months, 2 years. How long has it been since you've really been
hold on. I love this. Oh, I love this. I've been dating someone for 7 years.
Wow. Okay, well, Christiane, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, 7 years.
It's a lot.
It is a lot, Christine, and I think...
maybe I should get that Malibu house on my own.
I'm seeing... is this someone you're going to marry? I'm not seeing that.
I don't know. This is why I would like this reading, just so you could tell me.
Okay. Here's one of those opportunities, Patty, where I'm getting very strong information, but I'm reticent to say it out on the, 50,000-watt radio station. But I'm going to anyway.
Oh, look out. All right.
Okay.
I'm loving this.
The reason I thought you hadn't been in a relationship in either 2 months or 2 years is because I think you've checked out. You personally have checked out of the relationship to a certain extent recently. True or false?
True-ish.
Does he know?
We've hit a rough patch. No.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing there's trouble in Malibu Paradise, and the warrior is pissed.
Yeah. And wow. I'm like, where are we going with this? That's the first song.
Well, I'll tell you where you're going, Christina. It's not the same place he's going, okay? I'd get two separate cars. That's what
I'm keeping the bank account separate right now.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, keep your student loans separate. The truth is, you've been out of this mentally and romantically for, is it 2 years?
No, it's it's in a great place now. So, we'll see.
Yeah, it really sounds like it.
I'm so worried he's listening.
We'll make sure he gets a copy of the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard for me to say this on the radio because you're not going to be completely open and honest because you're afraid someone's listening. However, I can only, and again, this is not me, this is the universe coming through me. I can only tell you what these three songs are saying about your life and where we go. Huh? I mean, that's the question you want answered. Where are we going with this?
I'm guessing you have, was it maybe 2 years ago you started asking this question?
Oh, yeah,
significantly,
absolutely.
With a little more urgency?
Yeah, we have ovaries.
Right. So you've been asking this question for 2 years, and you haven't gotten an answer. So what do you think the answer is, Christina? Diagnose this problem for me, Christina.
I know. I make a lousy doctor for myself.
No, you know exactly what the problem is.
Oh, yeah. There's a game plan in place. I'm a warrior.
What is that? Okay. What is that game plan? You're basically figuring out a way to break up with him? Is that it?
No. So for medical school this Friday, for all medical students in their fourth final year, we find out where we go for our residency training. So it's in, a day. Have we passed midnight? Yeah.
Yep.
So on Friday. So next chapter of my life is going to unfold in very soon. And then...
Yeah, again, that's what this reading is saying, where we go.
Yeah.
You're about to find out where the culmination of your medical training is going to take you. I'm seeing it's going to take you to California or to someplace. It's going to take you to the beach. It may not be Malibu per se. It could be South Carolina. It could be Florida.
Son of a beach.
Lake Michigan?
Lake Michigan.
Well, yeah, I guess it could be Lake Michigan. Yeah, Lake Michigan has a beach. They have a beautiful property.
Northwestern, the University of Chicago are close to the lake. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm seeing,
yeah, that's what this reading is saying, that eventually, and you'll be happier when you work up the courage to act on how, your feelings instead of just kind of putting your romantic life on autopilot while you live the rest of your life, you know, because tempus fugit, it's Latin. Time flies, right?
Yes, absolutely. You're definitely striking a nerve. So I agree.
Yeah, well, it's when you look back on it, it's so obvious, right? Where we go, this entire reading has been about where you're headed, not only physically, but emotionally and romantically. Yeah. And there are three question marks for you right now.
Yes.
And I'm seeing that the location is going to force the answer of the other two, because you're going to be sent somewhere, you're going to end up somewhere on a beach. I'm seeing a tropical beach. It could be Lake Michigan or Michigan, but it does not look like. Are there palm trees on that beach?
I don't know.
There aren't.
No. Like
there aren't. Yeah. So that's. I think
dead bodies and tires, maybe. But
wow.
No. Yeah.
Concrete.
Yeah. Concrete. So you're gonna find this out on Friday, correct?
Yeah. Yes. We have a big banquet at school. Yeah. So yeah.
So you're gonna find this out in several days, and please get back to me and let me know. But I'm. That's what these songs are saying to me. So I think your spineless manner in which you're afraid to break up with that guy.
Wow.
Have you met parents? Have the parents? Have you met their parents?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
You have.
Of course they have.
Yeah. Wow.
Dogs don't even last 7 years.
Wow.
Truer words were never spoken, Dr. Dignam.
She freeze her eggs so that she wouldn't have to make any rash decisions.
Right.
Well, you are medical.
You know, and that's a rash decision in and of itself. I understand, you know, the ticking biological clock, it hits some women harder than others. But don't
I've never
let
really
that
had
noise.
One. That's part of my problem. I've never had that clock thing, so I've been doing my own thing. I've been to school a lot. I've had great jobs. I've had quite an adventure in my life. So my personal life was never really that much of a priority. But now it's becoming so. So maybe that is part of the reason. It's definitely partly me. I put myself in the situation, but he's a great person. He's been great in my life.
Aww.
Next chapter.
Where do we go?
Yes, right. I want a destination. I want.
Well,
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. I'm curious. You need to let us know on Friday how things turn out.
Okay,
and
well.
Then check in,
I think.
Dr. Dignam, I want to thank you so much. Yes,
thank you.
And remind everybody that Dr. Dignam is available live and in person for you to go see his performance.
Go see him.
At the Improv in Schaumburg. That's April 12th. Go to the Schaumburg Improv's website. I think it says Improv, and then you check on the location you want to go to. Follow him on Twitter at iTunes Psychic. Dr. Dignam, enjoy the rest of your stay in Hawaii, and thank you for joining us and taking time out of your evening.
Thank you very much, Patty, and mahalo to everyone there.
Thanks, Dr. D.
Cheers, sir.
Good night.
More after this. Good night. More after this on 720 WGN. Winding down in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Nick D is going to be up in just a few minutes. John Bolger joins us for White Sox Wednesdays. And
yeah.
That's enough of that. We also
hey, come on
I'm
now.
Kidding. We are the official station for the Chicago White Sox. And I am excited to have baseball back on the air. And
you should be.
I know. It's going to be very fun.
By the way, today Carson Fulmer got lit up, but it's only spring training, so it's not that big of a deal.
Maybe it's good for him to feel a little bit of a sting.
So you know when we do comedy, you test out your material. You don't want to do it in front of a live audience. You kind of want to work it through, but when you do, you can tell that he's trying something new with the pitching, and he just got shelled today.
Maybe he was trying to give the other team some batting practice. Just like,
well, it worked.
So nice. It's very generous of him. What's your favorite thing about spring coming, Dr. Tynes? Because my favorite thing is just the ability to go outside without a jacket on. I mean, honestly, that's it.
Yes. So I have such fond memories of getting out of school
and walking home and being able to take off my jacket and having that warm breeze.
Yes.
You know, striking my face and, mm-hmm. you know, just practically just floating, skipping all the way home, just joyful.
You better skip the spring. Esmeralda, yeah. Do you feel like going skipping when it gets warmer out?
Oh, of course.
Of course. You and I are both, when the fall rolls in, you and I are both like, good, I get to wear all my winter and warm clothes.
Yeah.
Boots and
no,
stuff.
I love both fall and spring.
Fall and spring, are you too? Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I don't like that it gets too hot.
Right.
Because when it's hot, you can never get cool enough. But when
spring's a little chilly.
It is a little chilly, especially in Chicago.
We kind of skip spring in Chicago sometimes, where you go right from winter to be like, summer.
It right. Is. You get like a day.
Yeah, you're like, hey, spring.
What happened? Right.
Well, I mean, think about all the different weather you experience at Easter. Now, granted, Easter does move around in the calendar, but
is it like in August this year? When is Easter? I forget. I lost track.
Boy, the bunny's a little
weeks.
Disconnected.
Yeah, no, it's very confused. It melted, apparently. Always bite the head. It's a battle in our house. Eat the tail or do you bite the head off first?
I do the ears.
The ears. Me too.
I just bite the hollow. I don't have time to just nibble on the ears.
Whatever I'm doing to him next, I just don't want him to hear.
That's so kind of you.
That is fair. Now, you know what? Since we're talking about Easter chocolates, Cadbury eggs. I remember when, do you remember when you first saw the commercials for Cadbury eggs?
Oh, those are my favorite.
Do you love those?
Yeah, especially the lion who's trying out.
I always thought the potential, the promise of the Cadbury eggs were always so much better than the actual consumption of them.
Yeah, they look gross too.
Yeah, I always thought it looked kind of cool, and then you'd be like, oh, no.
I can't get away that it is an egg.
Yeah. What was that as?
I can't get away that it is an egg.
Yeah.
So I just think that inside is just raw egg.
Yeah. Oh, it does. It has, of course.
Yellow and the white, and
It looks sugary. Too real.
Yeah. And then, of course, that also makes it peep season. And I believe, am I crazy that I saw Oreos flavored with peep? Which does not
Why
sound
not?
Like, yeah. I don't know what Oreos do. And stay in your lane, man. Stay in your lane. I don't understand. We're going to have barbecue Oreos next. It's like that year that all the chips went like different flavors. Remember it was like sausage and biscuits or something? Or I don't know.
They're like tin foil.
Like gyro. Wasn't there like a gyro flavored one?
And yeah.
Just nasty.
Asbestos.
Oh,
you know, that's really yummy.
Welcome to our building.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure everything's safe.
I'm eating as best as I can.
By the way, as you know, I asked one of the cleaning ladies last night, there are only about 4 floors that are still occupied right now in this building.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be stuck in a corner
yes.
at one point.
It's going to be very
strange. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
They are completely demolishing all the Tribune. Not demolishing. They are gutting all the other floors. Yes, this building has been sold to developers.
Wow.
And so we leave at the end of May, and things are starting to break. And I'll see, like, notes on things. Like, we have a restroom that has a sign on the toilet. Now it says, call maintenance. What are the chances maintenance is going to fix a toilet that's going to be gone in a few months?
So there's just going to be a huge hole in the wall that just says, whoops.
Whoopsie.